Leaders are influencers, and it's nearly impossible to maximize your influence when you're being dragged down and distracted by crippling anxiety, overwhelming stress, and private doubts and fears. We're unlocking the secrets to being fully present, expanding our potential, and growing our wisdom. Welcome to the Calm and Confident Leader Podcast with your host, Jason Stonehouse. Jason is the founder and lead coach at Life in Process. He helps professionals and leaders conquer anxiety and fear so they can maximize their potential. And now, grab something to write with and engage in today's episode.
Well, hey there. It is always good to know that you are listening and that we get a chance to talk about leadership, talk about what does it take to be calm, what does it take to be confident, and what does it take to maximize the potential inside of all of us. My name is Jason Stonehouse, and it is great to be your host on these episodes of The Calm and Confident Leader. And hopefully in the near future, we'll be able to bring some guests on our show and be able to talk about some of these topics with some other folks. But in the meantime, you're getting a lot of just free content when it comes to stuff from inside of our program. And on the last episode, I actually introduced this idea of what does it take? The wide angle lens of what does it take to be calm and confident? And more importantly, what is the last episode we talked about? What are the shifts? What are the transitions that need to happen inside of us, really, to get on the other side of this? So if you missed last episode, I would encourage you to do that. This is actually a continuation of that episode, as we're going to go a little deeper now in this episode. We're going to talk about calm. Why don't we experience calm? And then the next episode, we're going to talk about confidence and figure out what is keeping us from being confident. So I know on other episodes we've talked about calm and confidence, and it's, you know, obviously it's in our name, so you're going to hear a lot about those two topics, but we don't often talk about what is it that's keeping us where we are. What is it that's keeping us stuck? What is it that's keeping us from having the kinds of characteristics that great leaders have? And so that's what we're going to talk about as we continue in this. Really, I guess it's going to be a three-part series on this idea of being calm and confident. I'm really excited to tell you that I am more than two-thirds of the way through writing the book that's going to be a great companion to this. It's called The Calm and Confident Leader, and I've been working my way through that over the last probably 6 months to a year now, and we are finally about two-thirds of the way through, and so I'm really, really hoping that in the next couple months or the next month, I would love to see this book completed and then going to editing and printing and all of that wonderful thing. So I will keep you informed on where that is. And depending on when you're listening to this, maybe it's already out. That would be awesome. Then you'd be able to grab yourself a copy of it. And there is so much really, really good content in the book, and I'm excited to be able to share it with you. Okay, so let's get into today's topic. We're talking about calm. And calm is really this idea of, well, there's a lot of, concepts that I like to bring into this concept of calm, because there is this peace, obviously, with calm, but there's also this ability to step into situations and bring a different kind of presence. To be able to step into a room where everybody's freaking out and you're able to bring something different. You're able to almost rise above it and not be as affected by it. I think underneath this idea of calm is also this comfort. And not comfort like comfort zone, but comfortable in your own skin, comfortable in who you are. Comfortable in knowing yourself, really growing in your self-awareness, but comfortable in knowing this is what I do best. I don't do this stuff well at all. And this stuff, I just need a little bit of coaching and encouragement. And I think I can at least be somewhat proficient in these things. And it's holding all of those areas of our lives in this tension, but with a piece about it all, like a matter of factness about it. That's kind of what I look at in this calm. It's in some ways it's almost like being like bulletproof, you know, like where you can step into something and as things are firing, it's like, you know what, that doesn't really affect me because I already knew that about myself. Or yeah, I've come to peace with that vulnerability. I've come to peace with that insecurity of mine. And it's not that we're cold to it. It's not that we're protecting ourselves from it. It's just that the things that maybe used to hurt us are not hurting us because we've made peace with them and saw healing in those past wounds. And have actually, to use a biblical or a Christian word, is we've redeemed them. We've actually worked through them to a point where they are no longer issues that have the potential to take us down, at least as quickly. That's not to say you're completely bulletproof or you're a superhero. We've talked about that on previous episodes. It's not a good way to live, and it's often a lying. It's an inauthenticity rather than being authentic and real. So we don't want to go there. Okay, so what I want to talk about in this episode is I want to talk about why we don't experience all those things. Why do you and I struggle to be calm? Why do you and I find ourselves so tempted to lose it, to get overwhelmed, get caught up in the fray instead of really being a calm presence? And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I really just have six reasons why we don't experience that calm. And the first one is this: overthinking and overanalyzing. We talk about this on a number of our episodes, but this is really one of the biggest reasons we don't experience calm is because our brain is spinning out of control. Our brain is trying to solve something that's unsolvable. Our brain is trying to control something that's uncontrollable. But here's what I believe is one of the biggest reasons that we overthink is somewhere in the recesses of our mind, we tell ourselves that we should, or more likely, we can control, figure it out, make it happen, manage it, all of those things. And so because we believe that, in the recesses of our mind, again, it may not even be conscious, but because we believe that, our brain keeps working. Our brain keeps spinning because it's going under the assumption that it just hasn't figured it out yet. It just hasn't made it, it just hasn't found that solution. So it's going to keep spinning and overthinking and overanalyzing, looking for the solution. But here's the secret. There are many things in life and business that there is not a clear-cut solution for. I know. Mind blown, right? There isn't. You can't control people. You can't control global economies. You can't control, a lot of times, the impact of decisions. You can't control those things. There's too many variables for the brain to figure out. And we've oversimplified, in some ways, the solutions that we think, well, it's just because we haven't thought about it enough. It's just because we haven't analyzed it enough. It's just because I don't have enough data. If I could get some more data, then I know I could figure this out. And there are probably occasions where that may be true. But I would say they're a lot fewer than we think they are. There may be 15, maybe 20% of situations where if we just had a little bit more data, if we just had a little bit more time to think about it, we could come up with the solution. I would propose to you that there's probably 75, 80, 85% of situations that our brain is telling us that it's the 20%, and we are spending all kinds of time, all kinds of energy looking for the next thing. And I would say, I'm going to add this to the piece. I think a lot of it is fueled by fear. Because we're so afraid of making the wrong decision. We're so afraid of making the wrong comment. We're so afraid of giving the wrong analysis to whoever this decision maker is that we keep spinning. And as long as your brain is spinning, you are not calm. This is one of the reasons why loss of sleep or sleeplessness is so common among leaders. Because we can't, you've heard the expression, you can't turn it off. You can't stop it. And the reason you're struggling to sleep is because you're overthinking and you're overanalyzing something that there is not a clean-cut, clear solution. There might be decisions you can make. There may be strategies you can implement, but you're not going to get to a point where it's like you eliminate all other possibilities and this is the right solution. Much of leadership is this art. It's the art of leadership where you're going to need to make a decision, and it could be one of three or four good decisions, meaning any of those other options would have also produced a good outcome. And by you overthinking and obsessing about it, trying to find the perfect one, when you may have three or four really good options, and you're just going to have to live with the results of it. So you're going to have to somehow get off the train of overthinking, overanalyzing, if you want to experience calm. And so we talk a little bit about that in the program and talk about how to really get on the other side of that. But again, the reason I think our program is so successful at that is because a lot of it, and again, this is probably a big aha for you today, a lot of it is driven by fear. And so if we can bring the anxiety, the fear that's dysfunctioning, if we can bring the anxiety down, typically the overthinking and overanalyzing stops. And when the anxiety is down, you're actually able to rest. You're actually able to function in a calm way as opposed to frantic and stressed. Okay. Second reason we don't experience calm is because we're out of control. maybe a better way to say it is, and it goes right along with what I was just talking about, there's too many variables for us to control, and a lot of those variables could go a million different ways because they are people variables, and people are unpredictable, and people can make all kinds of decisions that may or may not fit in with what we think they are going to do. Okay. And so it's out of control. And again, the reason you're not experiencing calm is because you're trying to control something that is out of your control. And the sooner you can realize, and this is one thing, I think I shared this on a previous episode, but forgive me for the repeat. I am convinced to the core, as I've been doing this work now with leaders for years and years, I am convinced of this fact. We as leaders try so desperately hard to control things that are not in our control while ignoring things that are in our control. And I know you may not believe me on this, but I'm telling you, I've done this long enough, worked with enough leaders that many of us are blind to the things that we do have control over, but we're blind to it. We don't even see it. But if we saw it, we would be able to bring control in those areas. And one of the ways that you take the blinders off is you can't spend so much energy and focus on the things that you can't control. See, one of the reasons you're blind, one of the reasons you're missing this is because you're so focused on the things you can't control that you don't even see the things you can control. And as long as you are focused on the things that are out of your control, but again, you don't call them that. You think you can control them. That's the trick on this. But as long as you're focused on those things, you will not experience calm because you will keep driving. You will drive yourself to burnout trying to control something that you cannot control. And you'll keep pushing and you'll keep pushing and you'll keep pushing and you won't experience calm. You won't experience confidence. You're going to just keep trying to make it happen. And it ain't going to happen because you can't. It's impossible to control some of the things that you're trying to control. Okay? That's the second reason we don't experience calm. Third one is anxious environments. Let's be honest. Some of our environments, our work environments, our home environments are full of really anxious people, really stressed out people. People who, when you walk in the room, you feel it. And let me tell you something about anxiety. Anxiety is infectious. That's right. You can actually catch anxiety. You can actually step into a boardroom, and when there are other members in the room that are experiencing anxiety, if you're not careful, you can be infected with that, and you will be anxious yourself, because you will begin to take on the characteristics of anxiety that those people are exhibiting. And you're not going to experience calm in those situations, because that anxiety is now all in you because of the environment you're in. And so part of what we teach in our program is really helping people step into those anxious environments where everybody else in the room is anxious. And what separates those who go through our program versus those who don't is those who go through the program are able to walk into those environments and not be affected. At least let me say it this way, not be infected. Meaning, yes, they are fully aware of what's happening in the room, but they're able to bring a different presence. They're able to rise above it, and they're able to provide some clarity and some calm and some confidence, which actually lessens the anxiety of the other people in the room. All right, next one is underground tensions. Underground tensions. What I mean by this is there are often relational dynamics in an organization that go unaddressed. And sometimes they are subtle. Sometimes there was a blow up and it was never resolved. Sometimes there was a comment that was made at a meeting that affected somebody or impacted the relationship. And because so many of us hate conflict, avoid conflict, we don't deal with them. And so what happens to those tensions is they go underground. So now what, when you're in meetings where you need unity, you need a team that is excited and able to look at the future and come together and join hands in the middle and make things happen, you don't get that because there's these underground tensions that are just below the surface and unaddressed, undealt with, and you will not experience calm. And sometimes I work with leaders, they don't even know why, they don't even know what the tension is, but they feel it. They feel like something's off. They're like, I don't know. There's just something about her. There's just something about him. And it's only in these environments, or it's only in this situation, or it's only when I ask them this or that. And it's this tension that nobody wants to talk about, nobody wants to face head on, and the result, the outcome of it, is a lack of calm. We're just not able to feel at peace, comfortable, because something's not right inside our team. And until we deal with that tension and face it in a kind, gentle, gracious way, we are not going to have calm because of that underground tension. Number five is intense emotions. Intense emotions. One of the things, and I think I've shared this again on a previous episode, but intense emotions happen, let me put it this way. Leaders often think that emotions are something that happen to them rather than something they can not only predict, but also influence and even control. But because we think emotions happen to us, we experience these intense emotions, emotions of anger, emotions of regret, emotions of being overlooked or underutilized or disrespected or whatever. And we get these emotions and they're so intense. And because we don't deal with them, we don't know how to deal with them, they take away our calm. And so there is a whole module where we focus on how to actually, we focus on building what's called an emotional dashboard, where our emotions actually become the insight that we need into what's happening inside of us, so that we can deal with what's happening on inside of us, so that we can actually have influence and ability with our emotions, particularly those that are most intense. All right, and then the last area is what I would call confusion over roles. One of the reasons we don't experience calm, or the last reason that I'm going to point out here anyway, is why we don't experience calm is because we're confused over what's our role, or another metaphor is what's in staying in my lane, not getting out of my lane into somebody else's lane, not getting out of my lane and trying to fix something or do for somebody else what they should be doing, and I could stay focused on what I can do. I get confused over that. I get confused over what's my lane, what's my role in this situation. And here's what makes it even more confusing is sometimes your role shifts. I would say most times your role shifts based on the circumstance and based on the person. So you may have a certain role in someone's life and you have a very different role in another person's life. Or you may have a certain role in somebody's life in that situation, but when they are able to work through it, you now have to shift your role. Kind of like a parent who is so active in the life of a child, but then when they become a teenager and ultimately become an adult, that role needs to change. Well, in organizations, sometimes that role changes daily. And that's maybe an extreme thing, but you know, there's certain seasons where you may need to play a different role with people. There's also, as I talked about at the beginning of this episode, it was the beginning of the last episode, we talked about this idea that there's seasons in an organization's life, there's life cycles within an organization where the role of the leader needs to look different. And again, when you're operating under a impression or an assumption that this is the best role you can offer, but it is not the role that your organization needs right now, you will not experience calm because there's a disconnect. You're out of alignment with what's needed in that situation. And so because of that confusion, whether it's with individuals, whether it's with your team, whether it's with your organization, whether it's with the season of the organization or the life cycle, whatever it is, that confusion is actually going to hinder you from really being able to be calm and comfortable, because you're going to just know something is off, something is not working. So I like to, and I'm not sure if I did this on the last episode, but I like to make sure that we end every episode with at least the takeaway, something that you can do something with. And I will tell you this about calm, because that's what we're talking about today. Creating calm is an inside job. It's an internal work. And so my takeaway for you today, if you want to become a person who experiences more calm, is you need to become more aware of what's going on inside. And so I probably one of the easiest takeaways would be to start journaling. You know, every day, maybe before you go to bed, just take 10 minutes. And there's a number of templates out there for journaling. You know, there's some that are more leader oriented. I use one that is more geared for leaders. And you can use a template like that and just journal your way through so that you can become more aware of what's happening inside of you. And that awareness then will help you realize what needs to shift, what needs to change so that you can move forward. And so whatever you need to do to become more self-aware, not only of what's going on inside of you, what you're feeling, what you're thinking, how you're processing, but then also how you're being experienced by others, the more in tune you become with all of that, the more likely you will be to making the shifts and changes that need to happen. Well, again, thanks so much for listening to The Calm and Confident Leader. It's been fun to talk with you about these topics. We'll finish up this three-part episode in our next episode, and so looking forward to talking to you then. In the meantime, work on becoming the kinds of leaders who can step into situations and bring calm and confidence. Have a great day. Talk to you again soon.